Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering. Hello, podcast listeners. My name is Alan Collins. I'm the head of the abuse team at Hugh James, and I'm joined once again by my colleague, Felina Grosvenor. Hi, Felina.
Hi, Alan.
Welcome, podcast listeners, to this latest podcast. Felina and I are going to be discussing in this podcast university abuse and discrimination. So it's a subject that I see Felina is back in the news for all the wrong reasons. And through what I see in the media, some of the sort of statistics and reports are somewhat alarming. Now, can you help us here? Now, when we see all these various reports about abuse taking place at university, are we talking about members of staff abusing students, or are we talking about students abusing students? What are we talking about?
That's a very good question. And actually, that really ties into the issues that have been publicised over the news. The real issue is the reporting and recording of those who have come forward to explain that they have been abused, to disclose that information. And really, the recording is appalling. So, to be perfectly frank, I can't answer that question. It's from a number of different abusers, and there isn't really enough data to say whether it's peer on peer or members of staff against other students. It's very problematic that there isn't this recording.
Well, it certainly seems as though it's a big issue, and one where clearly there needs to be a lot more research and collection of information, because in the absence of that, I do not see how universities are going to be able to tackle.
Exactly. The media has really addressed that there's this lack of reporting, and also that universities do not really have the right policies and processes in place to deal with and to help those who have made these disclosures. The media have cited that many universities use volunteers in this area and do not really implement any steps. So once disclosure has been made, it's unclear what steps are then taken to help the person who has made this disclosure.
Yes. So, you know, we see cases from colleges and universities, and it does seem to be a bit of a hodgepodge as to what happens. There does seem to be a lack of consistency, but maybe that's just because of the particular cases that we see.
Well, Alan, would it be fair to say, or if I may ask you, have you found that universities or maybe similar organisations have rather, instead of put their full efforts into assisting the person who has made the disclosure, they're more concerned about reputation? And if the accusation is against a member of staff, are they more concerned about their member of staff?
I think over time that has changed. I think certainly we have seen cases where there has been concern over reputation, and that has muddled the approach taken by the university or the college. Latterly, there seems to have been, I think there's been a sea change, certainly in the cases that we've seen, where support has been provided, but the support has the problem with it of taking the student away from their studies, their environment. And maybe it's thought at the time to be the right thing to do. But actually, as an onlooker, looking at it objectively, I think that may not necessarily be the right thing to do, because you're separating the survivor, the student, away from their fellow students, their sort of natural support network, their friends. You know, because when you're at university, you know, you're usually with a whole new set of people, and you create new relationships, and you know, they become, you know, you create your own sort of support network, don't you? You know, you make new friends and you form friendships and you get to know people and all the rest of it. And so if you're taken out of that environment, and sent back home all of a sudden, you lose all of that. And I think it then makes it very difficult for the student to get back into their studies, pick up where they left off from.
Something off the back of that also is, if that is not the approach the university want to take, I know that in some instances they do not want to take the alleged abusers away from their education either. So if it's peer-on-peer abuse. And so in an effort to, as you say, maintain their education and not take away support networks, universities may decide to keep both the perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator, and the survivor within university to continue their studies while some resolution is attempted to be made. And that can be very harmful.
Well, indeed, you know, and I'm not pretending that there's easy solutions to any of this, but it does seem to me as though, from what we see, it's not necessarily being got right. That sounds like poor grammar, but it doesn't seem to us that well-intentioned processes are actually doing what they're supposed to do. And I think a lot more thought needs to be given and a lot more needs to be known. And I think that's why it's quite clear that there needs to be consistency, and for there to be consistency, there needs to be a lot more knowledge about what's actually going on.
Yes, I think that's definitely what the media have really been saying, and I've noticed that some changes are starting to be made. So the Universities UK, which is an organisation that represents 140 universities across England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, are intending to publish some guidance and recommendations in this area, which I think is meant to be released by the end of the year.
And of course, sexual abuse and harassment shouldn't be happening in the first place.
Well,
so which begs another question, what is it that is missing that should be there that reduces the risk of all of this happening in the first place?
Yeah, so the announcement by the Universities UK should hopefully focus not only on recommendations, but also prevention and so where, as you say, what is the source of this? Why is it so extreme in university situations?
So, you know, I'm thinking back to when I started at university, which is admittedly some number of decades ago. We were given a pep talk one afternoon about behaviour and what happens and what we're supposed to do and not do and all this kind of stuff. But it was very much a sort of pep talk. And I think some of us, well, probably a lot of us, were probably, you know, being 18, 19 or whatever we were probably still very sort of green in all sorts of aspects of life, and probably a lot of it just sort of passed over us. But anyway, that's by the by.
Yes. Well, when I attended university in 2012, 2015, my undergraduate, I'm sure things were very different. And something that you often see coined, and I'm sure you've heard many times, Alan, is, I hate to just blame it on men, but lad culture and the culture of sports teams in particular, rugby teams and similar, have quite a bad reputation in this area.
Well, that's an interesting point, an interesting observation. Yeah, you know, if I think back to my days at university, yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
But yeah. I suppose, as you said, with time, universities are having a better view to this, and the media is doing a good job to publicise this and make universities accountable and to change their ways.
Indeed, but you talk of the media, and I think the media, yeah, it's showing responsibility by publicising all of this, which is good. But also the media, though, does send out too often a very inconsistent message.
Yes, that is true.
You don't have to travel very far in the media to see how maybe lad culture, as you put it, is promoted.
That is a very fair point.
And not only just lad culture, but girl culture too. So
Quite right, Alan.
It all has to be factored in, you know. So if you're running a university and you've got responsibility for these issues, student welfare and safety and all that kind of thing, you've got to try and get your head around the fact that you've got a job to do, but you've also got to factor in how the world behaves and how the world...
Yeah, which can be very difficult to factor that in.
Yeah.
And move and change as society changes so quickly now.
Yeah, exactly. Very interesting. Thank you, Felina, as always.
Thank you, Alan.
You found another interesting subject, so thanks for that. Thank you, podcast listeners. As always, if you have any thoughts or comments, please do get in touch with us, and I hope you will join us with our next podcast. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.